back to pass, looking left, has time. Pressure coming, now rolls out to the right, looking for an open receiver. He's got Kincaid, caught in the back of the end zone for a 6-yard touchdown reception. Dalton Kincaid outraced his defender across the back of the end zone, and Allen hit him with a laser.
One of the highlights of the game, Chris Brown there on the call. Highlights brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. You know, in these moments, these games like that, so much fun. I got a text I thought was interesting. Xavier wrote in, Joe, I was worried the playoff losses would make this type of regular season success feel numb. It's awesome that is not the case, and these type of games are still so much fun. And we're lucky how regularly we get games like this, although this might be a new level. Even if we don't ever win the Super Bowl, times like this make fandom worth it. That's from Xavier. And, you know, like, hey, the Super Bowl is out there as a conversation to have later in the year. Of course, you talk about it at any time you want to, but I like that point, that sometimes during the offseason, or even when we're talking about, well, nothing really counts until you get to the playoffs, you forget that when the team is actually playing and looks like that, it's just a party, and to see your team feel invincible is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So happy Victory Tuesday, everybody out there. You can join us. We have time to take calls pretty much throughout the day. Sal joins us at 8. We let him sleep in a little bit. His guillotine team got chopped since the subject. Don't bring it up to him. He might be hurt.
Oh, you got to bring it up. Bring it up.
All right. Vic in Fredonia. Hey, Vic, good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good. Thanks, Vic.
So before the break, you guys mentioned like going into the season, it's like, well, here we are, and let's see what they got. And now we're 3-0. It's like, all right, we're Super Bowl contenders again. But the Jags, Miami, and maybe not as much Arizona, have just been good teams that only beat bad teams. So are the Bills that good against Jacksonville, or is Jacksonville just that bad this year? And does that play into next week against Baltimore, where if they go into Baltimore, third primetime game in a row, and they either blow them out or just get by them, is it putting the rest of the league on notice? Like, all right, we kind of have a more ragtag team this year, but we're 4-0 and we just beat, you know, the AFC contenders last year.
I just think the level of play from the quarterback and the defense, I think they are legitimately that good. You know, Jacksonville, looking back, They lost to the Browns.
Yep.
And the Browns are having one of the worst quarterback seasons in their own franchise's history. And to lose to a team that bad is a warning sign if you're Jacksonville. They blew a lead to Miami. Basically, since the first half against Miami, Jacksonville's been getting absolutely dusted by everybody.
Yep.
But look around the league. Scoring's down. Passing's down. However you want to say things are coming back, and here are the Bills. Like, man coverage for Josh Allen. Here's a 47 burger.
I think that's a little bit of last night for me, which is fine, that the Jaguars might have been the absolute perfect type of matchup for this Bills offense. They play Warren Sharp, the stats on this last night. The Jaguars played the most man coverage in the NFL. They play more than anybody. And Josh Allen, on early downs in the last 5 years, against zone, 27 touchdowns, 29 interceptions. Against man, 42 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
Seems like you should probably play zone.
Like, come on. And the Jags, I think, looked like they were playing man coverage last night.
Yeah.
I don't know to exactly what degree. So I don't even know that they're that bad. I just think they might be the worst type of defense for what the Bills quarterback is. He will carve you up, and he'll run. How many times did he run for a first down where there was nobody near him until he got 15 yards down the field because everyone had their back turned? Just not the quarterback you want to play man coverage against. And maybe the Bills saw that and said, if you're going to play man coverage, we don't need to run the ball. We will just carve you inside out for the entire game.
Yep. Yeah, the Bills, if there's a lot of cover two or whatever there is out there, you know, you can play man and play cover two, of course. Like, the Bills did not have to run them out of anything. The Bills, that looked like
they gave them the look they wanted, like out of the gates, kind of?
Pretty much. I mean, didn't that look like the Brian Daboll Bills? They were dropping
back. Oh, yeah.
The first drive was 7 dropbacks to 3 runs.
Yeah, that's right.
After being the run-heaviest team in the league on first down and being very, you know, just whatever, run heavy, they came out like a team that says, like, no, we can do whatever we want. We can pass all day.
Do you want to know where they ranked on that in the week? Neutral pass rate, which, by the way, for this game would eliminate, like, everything past, like, the two-minute warning of the second quarter.
Okay.
So, where they rank in the league this week? Number one.
Number one pass-heaviest team?
It's like 75%. Number one in the league.
Yeah.
Now they're number six on the season, by the way.
Now, maybe it's empty calories and it's candy to someone like me, but I spent the day yesterday arguing with people online, you know, for my mental health, saying the Bills are better if they pass it. Because you just don't blow a team out 47-10 if you are the run heaviest team. And when you have Josh Allen and you rip the ball down the field, like, think about the Kincaid touchdown. I was thinking about that play. When you call a drop back for Josh Allen, you kind of get two plays in one. You get whatever you called. Uh-oh, that's not open. All right, time for Josh to run the second play, which is he rolls out and looks for somebody and throws a touchdown. Now you pull plays that, what, did the Jags have that defended well? But you have a freak show quarterback and guys out there that know how to read him well enough to take care of business.
Yep.
Harold on a cell phone. Harold, good morning.
Harold, you there?
No, Harold.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Listen, I just want to say that I watched the game last night. I enjoyed it. But what intrigued me the most is that this team here, I have not seen us play this way ever. We have so many weapons, and I don't want to be negative about it, but we have players. We don't have superstars, but we have players. And the offensive coordinator, he designed a game plan that everyone touched the ball and it kept the defense on their heels. And they couldn't pinpoint which way our offense was playing. The game was so beautiful last night that one of my sons, who is not a Bills fan, he wouldn't call me last night. But that's another story. But anyway, I enjoyed the game, man. It's good listening to you guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Harold. I mean, Benford is knocking on star status. Milano has it. He's out of the game. I mean, Shakir plays like this, he's going to be one.
I think so. I mean, he's gonna have the numbers to be that. Is Cook still on his way to being that? He didn't really need him yesterday. He did have a drop for a touchdown, which would have given him a much... I mean, he had 40... What did he end up on the day receiving? His day was mostly receiving in terms of yardage. He had 48 yards. What was that drop? Would he have ended up with like 80 yards? Would he have led them in receiving and he caught that touchdown?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably at least a 20-yard pass.
It's like the one, two little minor concerns from yesterday.
The drop.
Just to keep an eye on. Yeah, Cook and his hands still like, all right, critical situations. I'm not so sure about that. And then Tyler Bass missed an extra point, but we don't need to talk about that.
Josh Allen, 4 touchdowns, no turnovers, no sacks.
No sacks.
Led the team in rushing yards.
He had all day, so much in this game.
Yeah.
That, like, the Jaguars, there were so many plays they just could not get near him.
Here's one of those.
And not even because he was scrambling, right. Just because the Bills were blocking.
I find that this conversation is in the eye of the beholder. Is that a game where he had to be Superman? No. But was he Superman?
I mean, he was. Yeah.
That's it, right?
Right.
He was Superman. He completed 75% of his passes. You know, we talk a lot about the everybody eats thing. If it works for you, great. I don't think the Jags are spinning around in circles because Ty Johnson caught a pass. You know, like Bills throwing to 8-9 receivers is not that new. It's just that now it's perhaps a little more spread out. But again, like, you're seeing Shakir and Kincaid emerge as the guys that they lean on. It's curious that Keon Coleman did not get very many snaps at all, and then they came in. And he ran the route that he ran at training camp. If you've been listening to us or following closely the Bills at training camp, that play. Keon Coleman caught 2 passes at training camp. Not actually 2 passes, but 2 types that I saw. He caught that play, and he caught, like, turning, twisting fades into the end zone, high-pointing balls. But that play, where he comes across the field, that's him running the gauntlet drill. Go back to the play where Trubisky gets hurt in the preseason against the Steelers. They run him on that play. That is Keon Coleman right now. That's his bread and butter. You know, like the comparisons to Xavier Worthy because of the trade, where like, well, Worthy only really does one thing right now. Coleman is kind of the same to me. Like, they're just ramping him up. And that is across the formation on a crossers. Watch his speed. Watch that replay. Because the phrase runway route, something we used to use, maybe Joe Marino gave us that phrase a while back from the Locked On Bills podcast.
That might be right. Yeah.
Runway route. Coleman's a big, huge Air 380, Airbus A380, and he needs a little bit of time to get to top speed. And when he does, he runs away from that corner. He creates separation in a straight line going across the field playing at top speed. And right now, that's all they really need from him. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure more will come, and they'll grow him a little bit more. And once he's maybe more rounded out, maybe he gets more than three snaps before that play because he missed a lot of the early stages of the game.
It's good he catches that ball and scores, because if that play does not happen, then part of the story yesterday, the secondary stories of yesterday would have been that Keon Coleman is not a part of their offense. If he had ended the day playing five snaps and not caught a football, then it would be, I think it would sound a lot different if he had not caught that touchdown.
Victory Tuesday, Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Those are some of the Skyworks stats of the game, brought to you by Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. Joe has this. The Bills as the number one pass-heaviest team of week three. They're up to sixth on the season in neutral pass rate, behind Bengals, Browns, Rams, Seahawks, Cowboys, and then there are the Bills. 803-0550. We have a couple open lines. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. Keep rolling here on a Victory Tuesday in preparation for Baltimore, and we're going to find and listen to some Jags rants, because you know, it's nice to hear people be mad about sports sometimes. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Fakes the handoff to Cook. Throws out in the left flat, wide open to Shakir, to the 40, 35, 30, and he's out of bounds. First down, Buffalo.